what the Supreme Court said last year was that the imposition of a life without the possibility of parole sentence on a juvenile as a mandatory sentence was unconstitutional.
That was the Supreme Court.
That's what the Supreme Court said. Our Supreme Judicial Court made the same conclusion that all psychologists, all experts in the field have, which is that when somebody is that age, there is no way to predict with integrity that this is somebody who is irretrievably depraved. And so they have to have an opportunity to come before the parole board at some time, and in this case they're saying it's at least 15 years down the road, at which point the parole board is charged with the job of deciding, has this person who's now grown up demonstrated that they are sufficiently rehabilitated, that they can live safely among the rest of the community and be a productive citizen?
Is Massachusetts a pioneer in this decision, or do states already prohibit life without parole for juveniles?
Massachusetts is definitely a pioneer. As far as I know, since the U.S. Supreme Court decision a year and a half ago, this decision by our Supreme Judicial Court is the first one to find that life without parole for juveniles is unconstitutional under the state constitution. And I'm not aware of another state that's done it ever.
So, Josh, do you mean that there are no other states in the country that say that you cannot sentence a juvenile to life in prison without the possibility of parole?
No, I'm quite sure that there are some states that have done that. But as far as I know, they've done it on a statutory basis.
Today's ruling involves two cases. In one of them, a person was 17 when he killed someone, and he's now been in prison for more than 3 decades. But the SJC now says he should be eligible to be considered for parole immediately. What about other cases? Will there be a retroactivity element?
There is a retroactivity element. All of the men, and I think there may be just one woman, that have been sentenced in this way will come up for parole eventually. So some of them may be only 5 years into a sentence or 10 years into a sentence. And then there are a host of them who have been in for 15 or more years. And so they will be scheduled for hearings before the parole board. The parole board needs to take into account that they were very young when they committed their offenses, and that may influence how the parole board looks at their culpability in comparison with an adult defendant, and then it's going to take a close look at what progress they've shown in terms of rehabilitating themselves.
The other case behind today's decision involves a man who has not yet been sentenced for committing first-degree murder when he was a juvenile. So since life without the possibility of parole has been struck down for juveniles in Massachusetts, does that mean the state now needs a law spelling out sentencing guidelines for juveniles convicted of murder?
Not necessarily. What the court is telling us is that the statute that is in existence can be salvaged by simply striking the option of life without the possibility of parole only for juveniles. And so now, if you are convicted of murder of any kind, then you receive a life sentence and you're eligible for parole in 15 years. For people that have committed their offense more recently, the legislature has now given the court more discretion, and so it's up to a judge to decide whether you're eligible for parole at a minimum of 15 years or a maximum of 25 years.
Prosecutors have argued that to rehash these old cases will be a burden on the system, especially since those cases were in accordance with the law at the time. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that justice is more important than an administrative burden on the court. We handle in our courts, 200,000, 300,000 cases a year. And so now we're talking about 62 old cases that are going to go not even in court, but before the parole board. That really doesn't seem like that much of a burden to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
Josh Doan is director of the Youth Advocacy Division of the Massachusetts Committee for Public Counsel Services. Josh, thank you.
Thank you.